Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at theopenhouse.net.au blog site and fm1032.com.au.
Dr. Tom Woodward is a professor at Trinity College in Florida. He's a specialist in theology, rhetoric, and the history of science. He's the author of a number of books, Doubts About Darwin and Darwin Strikes Back included, and he's considered a leading voice on this issue called intelligent design, and particularly the way it's been discussed in the media as well. Welcome to Open House, Dr. Woodward.
Yeah, it's great to be here in Australia.
Yeah, I was going to say, and welcome to Australia as
well. Yes, and great to be on your program. Thank you, Sheridan.
Intelligent design. At the moment, could there be any other greater lightning rod?
It is a big lightning rod, and I think I'm feeling some crackles of hostile electricity passing through my body at times, and not only here in Australia, but elsewhere in the world as I've spoken and even held some debates.
Mm-hmm. Okay, when did you get involved in looking into the issue?
Well, I really began thinking about origins from a critical of Darwinian theory point of view when I was a freshman at Princeton University, and this takes us all the way back to the late 60s, when there wasn't even a glimmer of ID, you know, the intelligent design or ID was not even on the horizon. But at that point, I was actually making a transition from atheism. I was an agnostic or atheist student and was checking out Christianity, but I was very angry to find out that there were students there that held to this design idea or the creation idea. And I thought that that was shocking, that at least they had to admit that Charles Darwin was absolutely right in his projections. So anyway, at the end of that first year on the Princeton campus, they kind of like, hey, okay, I believe in God, but God worked through evolution. And only later did I hear good, solid, evidential reasons, evidence-based reasons for thinking differently, for viewing the cracks in the walls of this theory of Charles Darwin as mutated and modulated since. And it was really not until the late 80s that I began reading books by Michael Denton, Philip Johnson later on, and I began to get to know many of these guys and attended some of their early meetings. Later on, when I got my doctorate, I decided to write about this area since I had been following it so closely, you know, for over a decade. And that's where I did my PhD work in studying the rhetoric or the rhetorical history of how this whole thing developed.
Okay.
The case against Darwin.
That sounds giant. Can you bring that down to a broad brush then picture of the rhetoric over this very issue of intelligent design? I guess the way the intelligent design theorists have put their case and then the way evolutionists have actually put their case, etc.
Right. Well, in a nutshell, Darwin's theory is a very powerful idea that says random, completely unplanned, undesigned events at the genetic level, in the level of the DNA, throw, let's say, a glitch here, a glitch there, typographical errors, and those through natural selection, the filtering action of nature itself, can then build new genetic files, like files on a hard drive of a computer. And those produce new organs, new organisms, and then all the diversity of plants and animals come about over eons of time. Now, very interesting theory, very powerful, but when you study the process of nature, you see that natural selection works, but you also see that just has a stabilizing effect. It doesn't seem to any time in nature be building new organs, new organisms. When we don't find evidence for that kind of change in the fossil record is littered with chasms, not little gaps, but chasms, and over time, those chasms are hardening. They're staying the same. They're not being filled with intermediates. And the DNA evidence, I would say, is the capstone. These little machines and the DNA and the protein inside the cells seem to me to have so much crammed in, rich information that we only see that kind of information content coming from intelligent agents. And that's what I've done a lot of my work on, is showing this conflict or the you might say, interaction, the engagement of the two sides as they're talking to each other, sometimes shouting at each other a bit. But I try to listen to the serious talk and the arguments that hurtle back and forth between the two camps.
Okay, so the arguments for intelligent design that the Darwinian evolutionary camp says, absolutely not. What are they, and what would be your response?
Well, it's hard to say one pivotal point. I mean, often they will say, well, this just can't be true, because science cannot even entertain the idea of an intelligent agent. They'll say, well, no, that's not science. They'll say, that's theology, that's religion. Well, I find that puzzling and completely implausible as a reply, because science already has many branches that have systems in place that are geared to detect intelligent activity. Let me give you a couple examples. SETI, Search for Extraterrestrial Intelligence. You know, our own space administration in America has invested hundreds of millions of dollars listening to stars and to star systems to see if we can get any program coming out, like radio program or any kind of radio transmission. SETI is built on the understanding that you can look at patterns in nature and you can see which can arise from just random action of nature processes, like a star burning out there, going shh, you know, just like static. And on the other hand, you can also detect patterns which only arise from intelligence, like a pattern of mathematical figures or clusters of figures, like prime numbers. And so to me, SETI is good science, and it shows that science does not die the moment an intelligent agent is detected somewhere. Well, the DNA code inside each one of our cells is more than just a couple letters and numbers. It's gigabytes of data. The human genome has 3.5 billion letters of precise DNA. And recent studies show that almost all that DNA is being used, contrary to what the Darwinists have been telling us for the last 20 years. I mean, the idea that 20,000 files on the hard drive in every one of our 60 trillion cells of a human being, 20,000 files were written by random glitches, when we don't see evidence of random glitches building new genetic material today in our labs, you know, I can't manage the leaps of faith.
Okay. We're speaking to Dr. Tom Woodward. He's one of the leading voices behind this thing called intelligent design. Of course, the criticism could actually be that intelligent design is being forwarded more by theologians and Christian apologists than actually by science itself.
I've heard that.
Your response?
Oh, anybody who studies the history of ID know that that is a gross distortion, because the intelligent design movement arose from a critique written by an agnostic living in Australia, Michael Denton. Famous author now, author of several major books and a lot of genetic studies on the mutations that produce problems in human eyes. He was living in Australia when the British publisher and then the American publisher and later a French and Japanese publisher brought out Evolution, A Theory in Crisis. And reading Denton was like a shock. It was like a wake-up call to scientists across the world, or at least those who were willing to read the book. Of course, the Darwinists said, don't read that book. Don't read that book. You know, it's trash. Well, I've read the book, you know, many times, probably five times. I used a very careful analysis of it in my first book, Doubts About Darwin. In Michael Denton's book, Evolution, A Theory in Crisis, directly ignited firestorms, little firestorms of doubt about Darwin in the science departments and the other professorial departments across the United States, across Europe, in Asia. Almost every major leader of intelligent design, who all of us were Darwinists, were former Darwinists, and it was not a religious experience reading a religious book, it was reading Michael Denton's book. Michael Behe read Denton. He was converted on the spot. And his whole confidence in Darwinism collapsed to rubble in one night. Philip Johnson, I could name five or six other major scholars who, you know, had that same experience. So all the work has been done since then has been a careful sifting of how did we ever come to accept the Darwinian theory in the first place? I mean, what is the supporting evidence for it, other than being told in high school, believe it, believe it, believe it?
Who are the scientists today, or the intellectuals, or the big names, I guess, that actually support this?
Well, the biggest name, I think, of all would be, I mean, the leaders of ID would be Michael Behe, B-E-H-E, and he's written Darwin's Black Box, and he came out with a new blockbuster just a few months ago, 2 months ago, called The Edge of Evolution. I believe that The Edge of Evolution will trigger the collapse of the entire Darwinian empire. I think it's doing it in front of us.
A prediction.
It is. Mm-hmm. I said in my book, I think Darwinism will last only another 10 to 20 years at the most, maximum 20, 10 more likely. I think it's going to happen within 3 to 4, mm-hmm. called complete collapse, based on the new book, the new findings, genetic studies that are brought out by Michael Behe in his book, The Edge of Evolution. But besides Behe, we have Dembski, 2 earned doctorates in math and philosophy of science. He's written a whole cluster of books that develop the new foundation of how you detect design in any physical system. We have Jonathan Wells, a professor in the University of California system for many years, professor in charge of the embryo research. He's written the book Icons of Evolution, and more recently, The Politically Incorrect Guide to Darwinism and Intelligent Design. I mean, Icons of Evolution is a massive, as it were, critique of the current theory. Oh, I mean, I can mention Philip Johnson, who's just done pretty well after a couple strokes, but he was the leader of ID. Steve Meyer, a major figure. But I would say the best way to see who is involved in this movement is to simply watch the one-hour DVD, the documentary DVD called Unlocking the Mystery of Life. And I think, I hate to say this, but I think you can even go to YouTube or Google Video, and you can just type in Unlocking the Mystery of Life, and you'll find it. Yeah, you can see the whole 60-minute film. It is immaculate, outstanding educational material.
If you haven't answered it already, what's the one fallacy, as far as you see it, about intelligent design that you would just love to clear up in people's minds?
Well, the idea, I often hear that design is just what's called the God of the gaps. You know, we have this beautiful scientific network of theories and ideas and facts, and we have a couple little gaps here, things we haven't filled in. And so the ID people, intelligent design theorists, are just running in God. They stick in the word God, where they have a little gap in nature. Well, that is an absolute inversion, I would say, a turning on the head of reality, because what we find, it's not gaps of knowledge that are driving design theory. It's the growth. It's the addition. It's the discovery. Secondly, we don't even put God there because that's a theological concept. What ID brings out is a designer. And then you can go from there to check out who the designer is by looking at the alternatives. So we don't put God in the gaps. We put the intelligence of a designer smack dab on a mountain of new information that is pointing to design. And that's what, if you look at the new book by Michael Behe, there's an explosion of genetic studies. There's literally an incredible tsunami of information about how these complex organisms are much more complex than we even dreamed 10 years ago. And so Behe says, you know, people say that Behe's argument for complexity, machine-like complexity, has collapsed. Behe says, no, absolutely not. My argument is like 10 times stronger today than it was 10 years ago. Not because of me, but because the evidence that I was building on, the mountain, is just growing and growing.
So why is the scientific community then kind of still got its head against it?
Well, I think that there's a tremendous philosophical bias. First of all, I mean, I've talked to many scientists, and the moment you mention intelligent design, they just literally turn red in their face. You know, the veins start bulging and their heartbeat, you know. The blood pressure has obviously gone up the scale. And I think it's because they personally think any encroachment of even the idea of a designer is going to ruin science. Now, I don't think they've thought about it very carefully, because design theory or concepts really gave rise to science in the time of Copernicus and Newton. Those were all building on a Christian worldview to construct science. Secondly, I think the design attackers often have not even come up to the kindergarten. I don't know if you have kindergarten here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
You do.
Okay. I don't know if most of these attackers have even done their homework of reading the basic books. I was in a debate with a college president, or actually it was a university president. It was a TV live debate kind of thing. During the break, I turned to him, and he had written a nasty article in the paper against intelligent design, just nasty. And very distorted, filled with errors. I said, well, Dr. Hoogie Dookie, that's a phrase my wife and I use for somebody we don't want to name. I said, do you really do this writing based on research? I mean, what books on our side have you read? I assume you've read Behe, at least, our number one book. He looked at me and said, well, no, I've not read any of your books. I've looked at a couple of articles. I thought to myself, how anti-intellectual. It's almost like a college president who should really, university president should hang his head in shame, because he's betraying the most precious values of the intellect, and that is wide research, careful, thoughtful reading. He's got it all figured out based on his own bias.
That is a concern, yeah. It's very interesting, actually. We had a debate on intelligent design last year with Robin Williams, who's a popular ABC broadcaster here, who's also a scientist, an atheist by his own admission, and Denise O'Leary, who I imagine that you would know.
I know Denise.
In Canada. Mm-hmm. And Denise actually put the same question to Robin, and Robin admitted that he hadn't actually read a lot. He had done some, but he hadn't read a lot. Mm-hmm. And I think that's probably... it's a bit of an issue for everybody, whether you're a Christian or not. If you're going to explore something, we've had a lot of talk about Harry Potter recently, and not as many people had read the books as had an idea on them. And I think the same thing with intelligent design or anything. If you're going to really attack it,
yes,
or explore it, explore it, read it, read the primary documents.
And if I could just recommend again, those there are actually two videos available. They're everywhere on the internet. Unlocking the Mystery of Life. And then the sequel to that is The Privileged Planet, which explains this whole new area of fine-tuning, which comes out of physics, which also points to a designer.
Well, it's been a very interesting few minutes. Thanks for joining us on Open House tonight.
Thank you very much. It's been fun.
Yeah, it's Dr. Tom Woodward. He is the author of these books, The Doubts About Darwin and Darwin Strikes Back. And his website is apologetics.org, if you'd like to find out more. Apologetics.org.
We hope you enjoy this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit theopenhouse.net.au.